Welcome to Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped to get off. And I am sitting in Philadelphia. Can we say that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am sitting in Philadelphia with adult entertainer Santana XXL. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm very, very, thank you very much for agreeing or for letting me into your set. We'll get into that more a little later, but thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. I absolutely appreciate it. I try to reach out to content creators and models sometimes that I don't know or I haven't met, but I follow.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what kind of response you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So again, I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm doing very well. It's a nice day, beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
So, you know, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I feel great.
Okay.
It's a good day.
You are fresh back from the Gay VNs, mm-hmm. From Vegas, but also California. You just got back from doing your first studio porn, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like?
Oh, it was amazing. I had a great time. Really good time. It was great. They took care of me. They treated me nicely, you know, and we did what we did. And, you know, I had a great time.
What kind of scene was it? Are you allowed to say yet or?
It was more a fuck scene,
okay.
Oral scene and stuff like that. And it was good. I really enjoyed it. And I would like to do it again. I would definitely do it again.
So let's talk a little bit about before going into studio porn and stuff. Let's talk a little bit about your experience. So you're from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Born and raised.
Well, I didn't really grow up here because mm-hmm. I was born here, but I grew up in Georgia.
Okay.
So, you know, I lived here when I was younger for a little bit till I was probably like, I want to say like 10, maybe 11. Then I lived in Georgia for most of my teenage years. And then I moved back when I was like, when I was like 20 years old, I moved back and stuff. And I've been here ever since then and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all the memory I had of this place, like when I was younger and stuff like that.
But you enjoyed it enough to.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer the South more, but
yeah,
you know, yeah.
What part of Georgia?
The coastal region part, like Savannah part. Like
oh, Savannah's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I can understand. I'm a little biased with Philly because I went to school half an hour outside of Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey, but. This was our city for like 4 years. So I would come and party here all the time. The drive here, like I was saying before, was really, really cool because I got to listen to songs and stuff from when I was in college. We're not going to go there though. Cause we're talking like the 2000s, right?
So.
Tell me a little bit about growing up in the South.
I had a great time in the South. It was chill, very relaxing. Everybody is so polite in the South. I had a good time. I really enjoyed it. I prefer the South over living in North because I just like the slow pace to everything, and everything is just calm and cool. You move at your own pace and stuff. And
it sounds great. I would move down to the South. I'm just not sure where. I haven't experienced it enough. I'm planning on doing like a trip to Atlanta sometime soon because I heard it's fun. I've done a couple trips. One trip to Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, New Orleans, I love. But
oh, yeah, I love New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Have you been there for Southern Decadence?
I went down there for a cruise one time,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up going to Bourbon Street,
yeah.
but it wasn't a planned thing. And I got so fucked up on Bourbon Street, and we didn't leave the bar or club till like, almost 3 a.m.
Yeah.
and stuff. We was tore up, but
yeah.
the people in New Orleans, they are so amazing,
yeah.
and so nice and friendly and stuff like that. They made sure we got back to the hotel okay. We was all messed up and stuff, but you know, I had a good time, and I definitely want to go back to New Orleans.
Depending on how you feel, I mean, I think everybody goes to the Mardi Gras,
mm-hmm.
but then there's Southern Decadence in September, August, yeah. September. That's always a good time. I went there twice. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, the whole vibe of New Orleans mm-hmm. is so nice.
I would probably move there for about a year or so,
yeah.
just because I think it's cool.
They definitely do take care of people down there, though. They really
yeah.
do.
Would you tell me a little bit about coming out? And did you come out when you were younger?
I didn't really have to come out. My family already knew.
Yeah, they knew.
So I didn't really have to come out really like that. You know, my parents is very supportive. Everyone in my family is very supportive, especially my father and my mother. And my mother and my father always told me they was going to love me no matter what. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't really have to come out, mm-hmm. but they kind of already knew. But everyone in my family is very supportive.
Very, very.
Because
cool.
I'm not the only one in my family. So, you know, like everyone is very supportive.
And school, like going to school and stuff, was it tough? Was it cool? Was it?
I had a great time in school, yeah. Especially in high school. Oh my God, I had a fun in high school. I had a really good time in high school.
Well, see, that's cool. The reason why I ask is sometimes you have a good experience, sometimes you have a bad experience. Mm-hmm. There's too many, all too often, bad experiences. Mm-hmm. So if you had a great experience, that's awesome. Like people. I like when people hear that, you know, like it's not always that, because I had a great experience in high school too. Yeah. There was a couple of people that were kind of dicks about it, but you know, for the most part, I had a boyfriend in high school.
I mean, I did too. I just had fun. Like I really had a great time in high school. I didn't have a bad high school experience. Everything was fun. Me and my sister, we're like a year and a half apart and we went to high school together. So we was always having fun. My sister's a party girl. So like, you know, we always have fun together and stuff. So, you know, it was great.
So tell me a little bit about your relationship with porn growing up. When you found it, let's say, how you found it, what was some of your sights?
To be honest with you, I didn't watch a lot of porn growing up, though. Like, I didn't watch a lot of porn. Like, honestly, I wasn't even really familiar with a lot of the big names at first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I just started playing with different things, and I would watch it here and there, but I wasn't really, like, familiar with it. And I didn't have a specific type of porn I liked to watch. If I liked it and got onto it, I would just watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I didn't have any picks about porn.
What about sexually, right? When did you become sexually active to the point where you're like, oh, okay.
I didn't really become sexually active until I was, like, 17.
17? Okay.
Because I wasn't really thinking about sex and stuff before then. Like I wasn't really thinking about sex then, but when I turned 17, that's when I really started having sex and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it just started taking off from there. Like really started taking off from there.
Can I ask how old you are now?
I'm 33.
Okay. Between 17 and 33, when do you move to Philadelphia? When do you move back?
I was probably like 21.
21?
21 when I moved back here.
Let's talk a little bit about OnlyFans. Right? Mm-hmm. OnlyFans and Just for Fans. Are those?
I'm on Fansly too.
Fansly? Okay. Mm-hmm. When did you make your first video?
Okay. So before I was on OnlyFans, Fansly, and all those pay sites, I started on XTube, Xvideos, and Pornhub. And I posted my first videos on XTube and Xvideos. When I did my first video, I didn't know how I was going to. Like, I was like, you know, I wanted to, like, do something a little bit different and then show what I can do and stuff like that. And I also wanted to rep for my big boys. So I posted my first video. My first video hit 1 million views off of XTube and Xvideos and stuff. The rest is pretty much history. Like, I just started being consistent since the very beginning with my content. I was, like, 22 when I started.
Okay.
Because I've been making content for almost 10 years. I've just been very consistent about me putting out content and stuff, and I just started just putting out videos, and it just took off, and then people wanted to see more, and I just started posting more. This is way before I was even on Twitter and Tumblr, because I was on Tumblr at one point too. Yeah, and I had already built like a following on Xvideos and all those sites and Pornhub and stuff, so I had already had like a following before I even got on Twitter or anything like that. Yeah.
All right, so you know, I keep forgetting that we did have XTube, we had Xvideos, and we had Pornhub. Mm-hmm. They just weren't set up the way, for instance, like the fan sites are set up. However, you can post videos, mm-hmm. you can gain fans.
Right.
Did they have a subscription based at that point for like your videos, for instance?
I think they had one for XTube and Xvideos, but I didn't use that. I think in the beginning, it was more so about me getting my work out there.
Okay.
Like, I spent a lot of time getting my work out there to get it seen, because that was the most important thing for me first, than just making the money at first. It was just like, make sure my stuff got seen. Mm-hmm. But when OnlyFans came about, I joined it like when it was like in beta mode. like in the beginning when it first started. But at first, a lot of people don't know, like, they're like, when I first started, like, there were some people that was really against, like, having my work out there. It was adult entertainers and porn stars that big names told me I was never going to be able to be successful. Mm. And that my content was never going to sell. You might as well not even try to, like, do this because nobody's not going to want to see a big boy doing this.
Where were they?
They didn't
this?
Say big boys. They actually said something else. But, you know.
Was that in, like, comments or were they?
No, they said it directly to me.
Really?
Yeah. There were some big name porn stars that was just like, you're just not going to sell. You're not going to, like, no one is never going to like your work. You're not going to make it far. And a lot of people, they didn't see it for me. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't see me, like, ever being successful because they haven't seen many big boys that, you know, in this business, in this industry and stuff, make it. And that right there fueled me. I'm the type of person, like, if you tell me I can't do this or no or anything like that, I'm going to prove you wrong. Like, I'm going to, like, it really drives me when people discredit me and doubt me and underestimate me and stuff like that. So when I first joined OnlyFans, my first day when I joined OnlyFans, I ended up having 1,000 subscribers within the first day. Yeah. After that, I knew that I could do this. Like, I knew right then and there, I can do this. Fuck the haters. Fuck what they got to say. You know what I mean? I'm just going to keep on doing it. I know people are going to be angry and mad and stuff, but whatever, they'll get over it. That was my whole thing. And you know, Raheem Shabazz, he was one of the big creators at the time that was so supportive of me. Like, he was giving me words of encouragement and everything. So I was just happy, you know. I wanted to rep for my big boys and stuff, you know.
So tell me about big boys. Tell me about how that plays into your work, how that plays. Give me a little idea. Because it's not usually prevalent out there, right?
Yeah. When it comes to my big boys and stuff, a lot of big boys reach out to me and tell me they love the work. They love what I'm doing. They love to see representation of, you know, of bigger men and stuff like that. And they give me words of encouragement. And a lot of big boys be like, oh, I would like to do this. I would like to do what you do and stuff like that. But I don't want to have to deal with the trolls and the negative comments and stuff like that. And I say, if you want to do this, then do it. Fuck what anyone has to say. Because, you know, people are going to say mean things all the time. I mean, everybody's not going to like everything. And, you know, if this is something that you want to do, go ahead, go for it. You can't worry about what the trolls say because they're going to always talk. People talk about me even to this day. So I just want to rep for them and give them representation and let them know we can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Your first video, if you think about it now, what does it look like compared to the video you just posted last week, let's say?
A lot of growth.
Yeah.
A lot of growth. My work has definitely changed, though. But, like, the video quality is better than what it was then. Because when I started, I was recording off of a busted iPhone 7. Okay. I was recording off of busted iPhone 7 and stuff. And, you know, I've made, like, 600 videos.
When you said, I'm going to, or did you say, I'm going to record myself blowing guys because I know that I'm really good at it. When did you find out you were good at it?
I mean, I kind of already knew that I was good at it.
Yeah.
Because what people would say, see, I don't never call myself, oh, I'm the best. I'm the best. That's the titles that the guys give me, like, or the fans give me, or the people that's interacting with me gave me. But, you know, I've always known that I was good. And when I really knew I was good is when I gave somebody a stroke. Somebody had a stroke one time.
What?
Yeah, somebody had a stroke. Somebody had a stroke. It's actually filmed. Like, I actually have it on videos. It's in my content.
He's okay?
Yeah, he was okay. He was good. The ambulance had to come, but he was fine. He was fine. He liked it because he came a second time. But we met up again. And stuff, you know, he had a stroke. I had to stop.
Yeah.
And then called the ambulance and stuff. And they came out and, He left in an ambulance and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
It wasn't like one of those half strokes, you know, we would have
to. I don't know what happened. He just was not responding and I was getting scared.
I was really
getting scared. I was scared for him. But you know, he was cool after that and he wanted the throat again. So and it happened again, but he didn't have a stroke the second time. So you know.
So has it always been? And I know you did a couple of scenes in the rooms in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. but has it always been in your car?
Most of my scenes are in my car. Mm-hmm. I do some inside, but normally when I do stuff inside, it's like mainly more than just head. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I might eat ass or get fucked or, you know, do other things inside. But in Vegas, I mean, I wasn't driving in Vegas, so, mm-hmm. Everything was like in my room, so not everything is in the car, but majority of my content is in the car.
I only asked because I think and I mentioned it before off camera, the overhead is is really not anything. I mean, this is spacious. Mm-hmm. How many men would you say have sat in this chair that I'm sitting in right now?
I would say like
how much seed has been spilled or taken in it right here?
Well, it's been in many cars, but like okay. I would say like a good 100.
Okay.
Close to 100 has been in this car.
All right. Yeah. When you go about approaching guys, mm-hmm. You started out predominantly with just guys that you would hook up with, mm-hmm. or
yeah. So when I first started with doing content, it was guys locally, like okay. guys that I would film with locally or hook up with and stuff like that. They didn't have a problem with recording and stuff, so when I asked them, they would just be like, yes, you know what I mean?
Wow, cool.
So it wouldn't take them long to like say yes. So I would just start doing it that way, and then those videos would go viral, and then other creators from other cities would hit me up, and then they would be like, okay, I would like to work with you. Or I'll hit them up and they'll be like, yes, I would love to work with you. And they would come out here and then we'll just do what we do. Yeah,
because I've seen a couple people come through, like fly in.
I flew people in from other countries,
yeah,
to come work with me. Yeah, it's been people that's came in from other countries and other cities and mm-hmm. stuff like that to come work with me. Yeah.
So you are at this point one man shop when it comes to production, as a lot of people are. But you know, the percentage or percentile that you are with content creation, mm-hmm. you are capable of, you know, okay, well, should I say that that's here or no? No.
Awesome. Well, let's. I don't need nobody popping.
No, you're absolutely right. Okay. I assume they stay here in the area, mm-hmm. and stuff. And okay. All right. Have you ever had an issue with people passing by? Or
no, not really. Not here like that. I mean, it was one person that was over here and they were staring a little bit, but I doesn't stop the show. I still keep going.
What?
It doesn't stop a show because eventually they'll leave and you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like production is production.
We're going to keep it going. If the person I'm filming with is okay with it, we're going to keep it going.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I've noticed that. Oh, and congratulations. You've sucked 600 guys on camera. I saw that you posted that recently. You have been doing other stuff. And the first time first and foremost, quick shout out to Derek Klein and Boomer Banks, who have been on the podcast.
Amazing.
And have been in your car. Mm-hmm. And you've worked at them. But the first time I think I saw, and I know you said you mentioned that you have done other stuff, but mm-hmm. the first time I think I saw a video of you getting a blowjob or anything outside of you sucking was with Boomer Banks.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Oh my God, it was so amazing. He was really great, really nice and stuff. You know, he came down here and we filmed the scene in the car, we filmed the scene inside and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like, he was amazing. He was great to work with, you know, very nice, very friendly, you know. I had a great experience with him and everything felt nice too. So yeah, everything was good.
and Derek?
Oh, he was amazing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know, I worked with him a while ago, and he was amazing. He came down here. We did the same thing in the car and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was very nice and very chill, and we had a good time. Yeah. I had a great time with both of them.
Okay. You record, but you also edit, you post, you do all this stuff. When you're watching back, because I've noticed some of your cuts focus on faces. When did that become a thing? When did were you like, okay, well, this is going to work?
Well, everything on my content is authentic. Everything that you see on my content is actually happening. And people like to see the facial reactions to, you know, getting the Santana blowjob, or, you know what I mean? Like, they just love to see the reactions, and all the reactions in my videos are real, and, like, I want to capture that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's really important for me, that they capture, like, the facial expressions of what's going on in the video, because everything that's happening in the video is actually happening. Because some people would think, would say, he must be, why are they overacting and stuff like that? They're not acting. Everything that you see is 100% real in my content. Everything.
I speak to a lot of models. I speak to a lot of content creators. You have, from what I'm getting, because I know we just met, but we have been speaking for a while and stuff. Mm-hmm. You have this producer mentality where if you're already seeing, hey, this is what these guys want to see, mm-hmm. like, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Has there come a point where you're like, this is a lot of work. I need somebody else to come in and help, or how do you go about your production process?
Being in this business and being independent and being a creator, it's a lot of work. It can become a lot sometimes because you have to keep going. You know, it's your own work. It's your business. It's your brand, whatever. You know, I do everything myself. I do all my editing, shooting, and bookings, everything. I never felt like I needed to bring anyone in. I don't know. I don't like giving control to other people over my stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like to be in control of all my things and all my work and stuff like that. So I never really thought about it. I just like, I like it though. Mm-hmm. I like what I do, even though it gets hard sometimes. You know, sometimes you feel like you can feel overwhelmed sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love what I do. You know, I just work through it.
Has there ever come a time where everything is set up, you're ready to go, and you guys are just not feeling it? Either you're not feeling it or the other person's not feeling it or something. Well, no, that's awesome.
I've never really had a bad experience with anyone I work with. Everybody I've worked with has been really cool.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, some people be nervous, like when they come and like film with me and stuff like that, because they don't know what they expect. Because a lot of times there'd be some guys that I work with and it'd be their first time ever like recording or ever even like doing anything with a guy.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. Like, so I've had people in my videos as first time experience with a guy or doing any kind of recording, and they're doing all that and like, you know what I mean? But I've never really had a bad experience with anyone filming.
What's your favorite kind of experience? Like what email or what text message or what message do you like getting that you're like, oh, this is gonna be hot?
when they get all excited to like film with me, because some men, they be really excited, like, oh, I can't wait to be in your video, I can't wait to work with you, I can't wait to be in the car with you. And I just be like, oh wow, he really excited. Oh, that gets me excited too. So yeah, that's what I like, when the person that I work with gets excited about creating content. You know,
what do you think the secret is to a good blowjob? A great blowjob.
I don't think it's a secret. Nope. I don't think it's a secret. I think the thing is, you really have to have a love for it. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to really love sucking dick, or, you know, blowing somebody in order to do it good.
Do you love sucking dick?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I do. I really do.
Do you prefer sucking dick over having like fuck scene, like a...
I don't, you know what? I don't mind getting fucked either. I don't mind getting fucked. But one of the things that I love just as good as giving head is I love to eat ass.
Yeah.
I do. Okay. I really, really do. So those are my two top. But I get fucked and stuff. I'm not a power bottom or anything, but I can definitely take dick.
I just think of sex scenes, like, they're just right to the point. No one has to like prep, you know, or anything like that, you know, other than a shower maybe or anything. I saw a post that you had. You like all dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like all sizes.
All sizes, all shapes, all... okay.
I like all sizes, big, smaller, you know. I don't have any picks. I feel like all dicks should be serviced.
Where do you think, other than being gay, where do you think your love of dick came from?
I don't know. I just like to give pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that was always my thing. I just wanted to make dicks feel good. so that was always my thing. Like, I just want people to feel good and feel good about when they bust to my content or my videos or something, or in person, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's all about making the dicks feel good.
We spoke about it a little bit before, but you went to the Gay Vans this year. Mm-hmm. I saw you on the red carpet, strutting mm-hmm. it on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you? Was that your first award experience? Or
yes, yeah? I was nominated for 2 Gay Vans awards, and it was my first time going to the Gay Vans, and I had a great time. I was there with BTB, Jacoby, Raheem, Archangel, Eric Hall. They were very nice to me. And, you know, I had a great time with them. And BTB, Archangel, and everyone made me feel so comfortable being there. Because I was nervous as shit. I ain't even going to lie to you. I was so nervous because it was my first time. You know, everybody was coming up to me and was saying, hey, Santana. Because I went to the expo, too. And, you know, the expo, you know, you take pictures with fans mm-hmm. and you see other people in the industry and stuff. And people were coming up to me taking pictures. I was just coming to get a pass. Everybody was coming up to me wanting to take pictures. I was down there for 3 hours. I was only supposed to be down there for 30 minutes. But everybody wanted a picture and everybody's like, hi, Santana and stuff. And, you know, some people were meeting me for the very first time, you know, because the only place that they ever seen me was over the internet. Mm-hmm. So a lot mm-hmm. of people were seeing me for the very first time. And, you know, I wanted to do something different. So I had a great time. That red carpet was everything. It was amazing. Everyone was nice. Meatball and Big Dipper interviewed me on the red carpet. That was really nice.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I had a great experience. I got to sit in the front row with the best, you know, and I had a great time.
Do you ever, now that you mentioned this, and I'm jumping for a second, but do you ever, just outside of an event like this, go shopping or just in Philly or something like that and get people that are like, oh, hey.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in this area, in my city, I do. Like, people will come up to me. I've been in it's crazy thing. It always happens in a food place or a restaurant that I go to that somebody will recognize me or they'll say something. But in a restaurant, they don't say nothing up front. You know what they do? They'll message me like on a Grindr or Jacked or Twitter. It's like, oh, you know, I was your waiter or your waitress and I seen you in a restaurant or something. And then somebody, I was in a McDonald's drive-thru one time and one of the guys came up to me and was like, I love your content. I love your work and stuff like that. How do you get them guys? I was like, you know, I just
asking you your secret.
But it's not really
like,
a secret.
Well, no, like just thinking you're gonna give it up.
But it don't even be a secret. No. Like, you know, like I reach out to people. I ask them if they would like to work with me. They either say yes or no. Most of the time they say yes. And that's just be what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, people be like, what do he be doing to get these men in these videos? I don't know nothing. I just ask them if they would like to be in the video, or sometimes they'll come to me.
Mm.
You know, it's that simple.
It's so funny. I was so tempted to like bring a model from New York with me, but then I was like, oh, that's going to be a production. I was like, let me not. And I was like, and what nerve I have to, what am I going to do? Sit him in the back and be like, Santana, blow him. Like, what if you, what if you were into it? Or, but, no, yeah, you know, because a lot of stuff goes through my head whenever, because this is an audiovisual podcast, mm-hmm. so it goes online, and then it goes on YouTube, and it also goes on wherever people get podcasts mm-hmm. and stuff. Okay, so you just flew back from California.
Mm-hmm.
You did your first studio scene. Mm-hmm. Does this mean that you are going to maybe segue into more studio stuff, or what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, If a studio will want to work with me, I'm down for it. You know, I would definitely do it again if I'm asked to do it again. You know what I mean? Like if a studio reached out to me and be like, Santana, we would like to work with you or something like that. I'm down for it. Just got to let me know.
Like if I came to Philly in a month and we do sex scenes and I say, hey, would you be down for a sex scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't charge around. We'd love to have
to work
you.
With.
Yeah.
I'm really okay. Easy to work with.
Okay.
I really like the whole production of it all. So, yeah.
When you think back at these models who told you you couldn't do it 10 years ago, let's mm-hmm. say, to where you are now. I mean, it was work. I know it was work.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you, how does it feel?
It's like me giving the middle finger up to everyone and said I couldn't do it. And the crazy thing is, a lot of those people came back and apologized to me. Some of them people it's came and apologized. Yeah. And they apologized for the things they said. And you know, it felt good and stuff. And some people, some of those other people that said negative things are now asking to work with me. You know, I'm just out here doing my thing, mm-hmm. you know. If you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to show you. Like, that's just what it is. I'm going to show you. It's just in me to do that.
With every positive comment or message you get, you have to also take the negative ones.
Yeah.
And you do, and you combat them online. I see you. Not to make it, you know, I don't want to make it about them, but they're out there.
Yeah.
What's your overall message for people who try to troll? Like, what? Like, why?
Well, listen, like, you know, when it comes to trolls and stuff, I don't go back and forth with anyone. Mm. And everybody be like, oh, Santana, why don't you clap back? Why don't you say nothing? Why don't you clap back? And this, that, and the third. I don't have to clap back because I'm out here winning, bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to clap back. I don't have to say anything and all this other stuff. I'm never going back and forth with a person that wants to be where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That wants the success that I got. So I'm never going back and forth with a person, with a jealous person or a troll or a hater that want to be where I'm at. So I pay that dust. You know, I get death threats every day.
Really?
Yeah. But people wish me dead and all kinds of stuff because they feel like, oh, I shouldn't be where I'm at, or they have an issue with me filming with a hot guy or mm-hmm. something like that. But, you know, I don't care. You can say whatever you want to say. You don't know me. Mm-hmm. You don't know what I've been through. Like, you know what I mean? I pay them dust. I find it funny, though. I really find it funny when they be trying to troll me and say all kinds of things. They be saying, trying to say, oh, Santana videos is trash. He can't suck dick. He can't do this. He can't do that. But I've been nominated for 11 awards. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say anything else.
And the studios are coming to you.
Yeah, they're coming to me. The studios are reaching out to me. You know what I mean?
And now you have Grabbies too, right? Grabby nominations.
Yeah, I have three Grammy nominations. I'm nominated for Performer of the Year. Best Duo with Roxas, our video that I did with Roxas got nominated. And I'm also nominated for Just for Fans, American Fan Favorite.
Very, very cool. Are you going to find yourself in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, I plan on going. It'll be my first time in Chicago.
Yeah, you're going to suck some dick in Chicago?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I can't go nowhere to a whole other city and not do that. I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to that. First time in Chicago, first Grabbies. I'm just excited. Even if I don't win, I'm just happy to, like, you know, be recognized and, you know, for the award nominations and stuff and the experience.
Yeah,
you know?
The parties are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah. I think you'll have a great time in Chicago. Is there any city that you have not been to yet that you're like international or anything that you're like, I can definitely suck dick here?
I want to go to London.
Yeah.
I would like to go to the UK. And I would like to go to San Francisco. And I would like to go to LA. I've never been to LA.
Oh, you haven't been to LA yet?
I have not been to LA.
You're going
to
tear up LA.
But I think it's coming because for some reason LA is calling my name for some reason. But we'll see what happens, you know.
Okay. Oof. There is a talent pool that you are you can crack into.
I can imagine. I know.
If people are living under a rock and don't know where to find Santana XXL, where do they go to find you?
You can go on X. My Twitter is Santana XXLLL, and you can reach me. All my link trees and stuff is under there. I'm also on Instagram at Santana XXL underscore world. That's my Instagram, and you know, go on there. You can also find me on Pornhub. You can also find me on X videos and stuff like that. I'm everywhere, honestly.
You are.
I'm just not on TikTok or Snapchat.
It would be very hard to get on TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, I had one, but you know, they took my stuff down. Mm. That's how it was with me on Twitter. Oh my God, I was getting suspended on Twitter left and right. I had to start my platforms over and over and over again until I got to a place where, you know, that it's fine now.
Really? Even like Twitter was giving you a problem with that?
Yes, because people would study reporting my account.
Oh, okay.
Like, I went through 10 Twitter pages.
What?
Yeah, because my last page that I had, it had hit 500K, and then the next day it got suspended. But then I saw that was going, I had to start the whole platform over, but I got back to where I'm at and over and plus. But then they gave me back my, that page that was suspended with the 500K. So I got two now. So they gave it back to me. I got most of my pages back now. But you know, that's how it was in the beginning. Like people were just so against me putting out content. People were really against it. Like they really was. But you know.
And here you are.
Yeah.
I have to thank you very much for welcoming me into your car, sharing space with me, and bringing me back to Philly for a sec, so we can talk.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely appreciate it. I'm sure these guys will appreciate it too.
Thank you. I had a great time.
I'm very, very grateful for you saying that, and I wish you nothing but the best when it comes
thank
to stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Can you?
Of course. I was wondering. I was like, is he a hugger or?
Because I walk
up to everybody and I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm a teddy bear for real. I always hug people.
You've been watching Demystifying Gay Porn. I'm your host, Ike Grande. Demystifying Gay Porn is available on every podcast directory, as well as YouTube. Demystifying Gay Porn is on X, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram.
And if you like what you're watching or listening to and want to be a part of the creative process, head over to patreon.com/demystifyinggayporn, where you can help support this audiovisual podcast and YouTube channel, and I can continue making content like you've just enjoyed. Once again, this is Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped you get off. Cheers.